Good morning, and thank you for joining me for Cleveland Connection. Joining me this morning is...
Alex Johnson, president of Cuyahoga Community College.
Cuyahoga Community College, also known as Tri-C.
Tri-C.
Now, we're here to talk about a book that you've written, which I'm really excited to talk about.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to do that. But I also want to share an update on where we are at the college. We got some good news for our community, and I want to talk a little bit about some of those newsworthy items.
Absolutely. First, for people who don't know much about Tri-C, let's talk about the history a little bit.
Well, Tri-C was founded back in 1963 by a gentleman named Charles Chapman. The college is about 55 years old now. We operate in four different locations throughout Cuyahoga County, four comprehensive community college campuses, each headed by its own president. We serve 55,000 individuals each and every year in what we call credit and workforce programs. We graduated this past year, 4,500 individuals, the largest number in the history of institution. We awarded 16,000 separate credentials, which is an extraordinary feat in itself. Considering back in 2013, we only awarded 1,000. So the college is really contributing to the economic growth and development of the region, not only through the students that it graduates, but through the return on investment. For every dollar that the county invests in Tri-C, the return is $11. Yeah, sometimes I'm amazed at the extraordinary contributions that Tri-C makes.
Why and how do you think this is happening? What's happened in the last 5 years?
Well, there's a lot of things that are essentially driving this commitment to workforce development. First of all, I think the community understands that the higher paying jobs come with some type of technical training. Mm-hmm. In information technology, for example, manufacturing, healthcare, a person with an associate's degree or some type of credential and can really start out with a great wage, a family-sustaining wage. So that's important. More people recognize that now. The other thing, the other aspect of the community college I think is important is the fact that it's very affordable. Mm-hmm. Tri-C, for example, is the most affordable state-supported institution in Ohio. And that compares to any four- or two-year institution. Mm-hmm. Tuition rate is $114 per credit hour, but with scholarship support, grants, students pay on average $38. So it is very affordable. And the experience that students get is great.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not just going after high schoolers getting ready to go to college. It's for anybody, right?
It's for anybody. The average age of a Tri-C student is 27. About 25% of our student body is made up of individuals right out of high school. But the other 75% is made up of what we call non-traditional students, which essentially is the norm at community colleges mm-hmm. nowadays. It includes many more veterans. It includes many more individuals who have dropped out of high school. It includes an increasing number of individuals who have gone off to four-year institutions and have returned to a community college for their education. And it also includes a number of individuals who want to boost up in the workplace. Mm-hmm. They might be working now, but they need some type of college experience, some type of training that would enable them to be promoted or to earn a higher wage. Mm-hmm. So those are the individuals that are essentially making up at least 3/4 of our college population today.
And you also allow soul searchers in there, doing a profession and they're not very happy with it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. We have soul searches. We have individuals who are displaced from their jobs, individuals who have been out of the educational realm for a number of years coming mm-hmm. back, and we have support systems in place mm-hmm. for all of them.
And so while we're here, let's give the website.
All of the information you want to know about Tri-C is on our website, and it is www.tric.edu. That's T-R-I-C. UNC.edu.
Easy. And how long have you been with the institution?
I have been college president for the last 5.5 years, and I served as president of the Metropolitan Campus from 1993 until 2004. So essentially, I returned to the college 5.5 years ago to take over as president.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, with all this in mind, you have gone above and beyond. You have a doctorate in education?
I do. But let me just thank our listeners for their support of our recent construction bond, Issue 61. That passed by 68% margin. And it was an extraordinary, I think, compliment. Mm-hmm. An investment in the future of Tri-C. That construction bond will serve us steadfastly in terms of new facilities, renovated facilities, laboratories, equipment, and also vast improvements in our campus infrastructures for the next 25 years. So that was a huge investment.
Yeah.
And so I really want to thank our supporters and our partners for that effort. The book that you mentioned is entitled Change the Lapel Pin, and it focuses on how one can individualize or personalize leadership to promote the advancement of communities and organizations. I began on the book in earnest back in 2009. As a way to essentially capture some of the things that I thought were important to a developing leader like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I put the book aside because I had taken on some new presidencies at Delgado Community College in New Orleans and then the Community College of Allegheny County in Pittsburgh. And I returned to it about, I'd say, 2.5 years ago. Because I recognized then that I had more of a story to tell. Mm-hmm. After Hurricane Katrina and getting through that in New Orleans and then in Pittsburgh with the financial crisis in that state, I felt I had maybe a more enriching story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing again in earnest about 2.5 years ago, and I completed the book about a year or so ago. My hope is that everyone can discern that Cuyahoga's success comes as a result of a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there should be wholesale engagement in promoting student excellence and the betterment of the community. And we have an extraordinary faculty and staff that undertake that responsibility without fanfare. I am so very, very proud of them. So much of what I've talked about in terms of outcomes and achievements come as a result of that stalwart investment of time and energy by our faculty and staff. We also have a great group of external stakeholders who are part of Tri-C in very, very meaningful ways. Our Board of Trustees, appointed by the governor and the county exec, our foundation board members who raise millions of dollars each and every year for scholarships, our Board of Visitors who advise and counsel us on the types of workforce development programs that should be implemented at the institution, and then all of our advisory boards who help us in that regard as well. And the business leaders, I mean, when you think about the partnerships that we have with SwageLock, for example, and Lincoln Electric, it means that students can work and come to our institution and earn their degrees at the same time. So that, to me, is perhaps the most important part or contribution to Tri-C's success. So as the leader, I get to benefit from all of that stalwart, all of that stalwart effort. But Change the Lapel Pin essentially talks about how leadership can emerge from within based on your experiences, based on the depth of your education, and based on your exposures, those individuals that you have a chance to meet and you see in them some qualities that you'd like to emulate or not emulate.
Right.
So it really allows a potential leader or someone already in the role to deduce from those three areas how their leadership style can be shaped. For me, it was my experience growing up during the civil rights movement and how I learned from that, because I believe that education is something that should be shared by everyone on an equal level. I also believe that leadership responsibilities can be provided in that way as well. I believe that we should situate ourselves in our communities and provide our communities with the support that they need to be successful. And that's very important in Cleveland at this time. And I benefited, quite honestly, from the lessons learned from people like Walter Cronkite, who was the voice of America, and people relied on him during really challenging times in our country. Another person who has helped me tremendously in terms of carving my leadership style is Lewis Stokes.
Okay.
And the manner in which he led the investigations into the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy. And then the other person, probably one that may not be familiar to our listening audience, is a person by the name of William Clyde Friday, the president of the University of North Carolina system that desegregated that system of higher education during a very tumultuous and important time in that state. He was able to do it not because of positional power, but because of an astute ability that he had to gain consensus. And leadership sometimes is not about positional power. It's about relational power. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's where that is the true basis of power and in the leadership role.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school. I did my undergrad at a little historically black institution. I talk about this in the book. Mm-hmm. Had a tremendous impact on me. A little historically black institution in North Carolina called Winston-Salem State University.
Okay.
Moved to New York and taught, and during that time earned a master's degree from Lehman College, which is a branch of the City University of New York.
What did you teach?
I taught early childhood education when I first graduated from college.
Okay.
And then, little preschool kids.
But that's really when you got to get them,
that's
too.
When you have to get them. So that was my first teaching experience. And then I earned my doctorate from the Pennsylvania State University, Penn
Very
State.
Nice. That degree isn't what got you here,
se.
It's more of your leadership skills.
Well, yeah, because as I indicated, all of these things are interrelated. Mm-hmm. And a leader evolves. There are few of us who are born leaders. But many of us who have a desire to do good things, mm-hmm. have the potential also to be good leaders. And that's when you really are able to develop your skills through the mm-hmm. three essential elements of leadership that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else are you trying to convey with your book? Or who do you want to read this book?
Well, people think the book is primarily about my experience, but I also talk about and identify models who exemplify what the book is all about. Here in Cleveland, a gentleman that I portray in the book is a person by the name of Mark Burns. Mark is now the chairman of Oswald Insurance Company. And for the last 25 years, he's been involved in everything essentially important to the development and advancement of Cleveland. But he was an orphan and mm-hmm. didn't find out who his real parents were until later on in life. And he exemplifies, quite honestly, the types of challenge that sometimes leaders go through mm-hmm. in order to be great. And he is a great leader. Another person that I portrayed a book because of her commitment to community and civic engagement is a lady by the name of Ruby McCullough, who began her leadership journey over half a century ago and wound up developing the Harvard Community Services Center when people started migrating to the inner ring suburbs. Mm-hmm. And Lee Harvard was one of those areas. But she felt that there was a need to really develop that community and make sure that families had a nice experience, a quality experience. And she's another person portrayed in the book. But there's folk outside of Cleveland portrayed in the book as well. Jeff Bezos, who is the president and chairman of president and CEO of Amazon, a $1 trillion company that started it in the garage selling books. Another person, Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, grew up in very modest surroundings in Canarsie, Brooklyn, and had to support his family when his dad broke his leg. Howard went on to earn a degree from Northern Illinois University, began working in a manufacturer of coffee makers. Ran into the brothers who owned Starbucks at the time and later on brought it for $3.8 million. And now the company is worth $84, $85 billion. And of course, he's a billionaire at least three times over. So these are examples of individuals who really represent the model portrayed in the book.
What's some of the things that have happened to you?
Well, I don't know if I've experienced any hardship, but I do. I can say to you that growing up in a segregated community, in a little stamp of a sweltering town, Concord, North Carolina, taught me resilience and how to, make sure that people were given opportunities for success. I don't consider that a challenge. It was just the way I was introduced to the world. I can't think of a challenge that I've had, but I've had a lot of life experiences, and the lessons have essentially made me who I am today.
Did your parents push you to school from a small age? Say you're going to go to school, you're going to go to college. Were they like that, or were they like, you do whatever you want?
No. Nobody went to college in my family. I was the first one in my family to go to college. And I'm fortunate that my sisters and my brothers have made that a part of their educational experience as well. But no, they never did.
Mm-hmm. You knew you wanted to go.
No, they. Yeah. Oh, I really didn't.
Oh, really?
Okay.
You
much,
did go, though.
Yeah, well, I did. But so much of my life's experience has almost been serendipitous. I've been blessed. Mm-hmm. And not only did my parents understand the importance of education, they never pushed it. Mm-hmm. It was my grandmother who really understood why an education was important, because she spent her life as a domestic, working in the home of a family and for long hours each and every day. But she recognized that that she may not be able to change her life at that particular point in time, but perhaps she could have an impact on me, and she did. So she was the one who talked about the importance of education. I went to high school in Concord, North Carolina, was not a good student, but had a guidance counselor that had believed in me and made it possible for me to understand that there were other institutions I could attend if I wanted to, and that's when I went to a historically Black institution, Winston-Salem State University. When I graduated, I taught in the South Bronx. I met a professor by the name of Marianne Winnick at Lehman College. She made it possible for me to get a scholarship at Lehman. Another person intervened there.
I was going to say.
And then when it was time to consider a PhD, which I never thought I would be able to acquire, she talked about the importance of that and shared with me that she thought I was capable of doing it. I found myself at Penn State University in the hands of another mentor, Dr. Carol Cartwright, who was president of Kent State University for a number of years, who's my doctoral advisor and today serves as my coach and my mentor and provides me advice and direction today. So it's been a course where a lot of people have intervened to help me on my journey. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then I'm certainly grateful for all of those individuals who reached out to me and made who I am today possible. But the same thing needs to be done today. Mm-hmm. There's so many individuals, so many people who have really great futures ahead of them, and sometimes they need a helping hand to reach their potential. So My hope is that we can do that more as a community.
Do you have some mentees?
I do. I do. One in particular. I have several, but
I'm sure,
one in particular I met during the time she was in the sixth grade. Challenging. She was challenged by a lot of things, let me say, in her environment. But
okay.
I met with her. I talked about the importance of self-worth. And excellence, particularly in the area of education. She made it through the sixth grade, thank goodness, made it through high school, graduated with honors, and now she's at the prestigious Allegheny College in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. doing very, very well. And our hope is to be a doctor, and she's going to be meeting with representatives from Cleveland State and NeoMed to talk about her future in that regard. So I'm very, very proud of her.
You must have, that must be such a great feeling.
It is a great feeling indeed.
That's the whole point. And I think that's kind of what your book is all about too.
It is to an extent. And then the other piece is it's about my journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the journey of a lot of the individuals that I talked about, Ruby McCullough, Howard Schultz, Mark Burns, Jeff Bezos, and the list goes on and on. Jerry Sue Thornton is my predecessor, one of the greatest presidents in community college education. It's about that, but it's also about the technical skills that you need to be successful, particularly during your initial leadership experience, because that's where the greatest number of failures occur.
Mm-hmm.
I know presidents who've taken on jobs and have lasted sometimes between 90 days and a year, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some advice and counsel for them. There's also a way, also present a way that individuals can really shape and advance organizations and communities. That's included in the book through the development of a vision, strategic planning, assessment, and the list goes on and on and on. And then in the last section of the book, it really talks about the future of leadership and what leaders should embrace in order to continue the development of their organizations and themselves. So it's around culture as a context for institutional transformation. It talks about diversity the importance of that, particularly for the future workforce. It talks about how to shape future leaders, particularly millennials, who will be playing an important role and responsibility in organizations and communities. And then the last chapter really is a summary of the book and drives home the points that I made about how leadership develops from within and the types of technical qualities that you need to be successful.
So basically 9 years in the making.
Years in the making with a mad dash toward the finish line in the last 18 or so months.
Anybody encouraging you through these last couple of years to just get it done?
Well,
or were you just saying, I need to do this?
Well, I tell you, one person in particular, a guy by the name of Yehuda Reinhardt, who heads up the Mandel Foundation along with Mr. Mort Mandel, and he is a prolific writer. And he talked about his approach. He gets up early in the morning when he's most creative, and he writes. And I soon discovered that that was my most creative time, so I would get up early in the mornings and write, and I would think about him and his effort doing it at the same time. And if he can write a number of books and volumes, I can certainly write one. So he was my inspiration from afar. My wife, Daphne, who's no longer with us, but served as a source of inspiration as well, because the book really centers around the balance between work and life-sustaining relationships. And certainly my wife was that for me, along with my grandbabies and my children.
Oh. How many children do you have?
I have two children. One works at Cuyahoga. She has a doctorate, Dr. Kim Johnson. And the other one is a ranger with the Metro Parks. His name is Nakia. And two beautiful grandbabies, Ruby and Rory.
Oh, that must be.
And my daughter-in-law, Shamira. I can't forget about her. Yes.
So they've all enjoyed your book by now, I'm sure, at this point?
Well, you know, I hope they've read it, I'm sure they will enjoy it because there's a lot in there about them. The two-year institution, Tri-C in particular, are the backdrop for the book.
Mm-hmm.
It really talks about the importance of leadership At organizations and communities and at any level.
Give the details again, the title, where people can get it, phone numbers, websites.
It's entitled Change the Lapel Pin, Personalizing Leadership for Organizations and Communities. It's available on Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Noble. But the best way to get it is through Tri-C, and the web address is www.tri-c.edu/changethelapelpin. And all of the proceeds are going to the scholarship program at Tri-C.
That's amazing.
Yes. It's been tremendous. It's not so much about the book. I think it's because of the worthy cause that the proceeds go to support.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I want to thank you in particular for inviting me in to do this. I just feel so strongly that Tri-C is an important asset in our community. It does so much good. A tremendously gifted and committed faculty and staff. And I do hope that individuals out there who need some type of educational development and opportunity, that they would look at Tri-C first and foremost. You can't doubt 4,500 graduates and 16,000 credentials awarded this past year. So we're excited, and we have goals and to do much more than that.
Just another thing that makes Cleveland so wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Doctor, thank you. We'll have you back on soon, I hope.
All right. Well, look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.